Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're not only coming to the end of 2 Timothy, but we're coming to the end of the Apostle Paul's life. I'm not sure if you knew that you only had a short amount of time to live, and it wasn't because you had a debilitating illness. You just knew that within a day or a week or a month, or not sure, your head was going to be chopped off by Caesar. And you had been the point person for the gospel around the world. You probably would have some important things you'd want to share with those who are going to stay behind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask as we go to your word that we would be not only hearers, but doers of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your plea to us to bring the word to and the truth and hope to this world. But Father, help us this day. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to read this in context, and so we'll have to start back in chapter 3. For those who don't know, or a good reminder, that is when the Bible was given to us, written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, breathed by God through these authors, there were no chapter divisions or no verses. Every once in a while, and I think it's very helpful to have the verses and chapter breakdowns, but in order to really get the context of what's happening, sometimes we got to back up. So let's back up and look here at verse 14 in chapter 3, and then we'll keep reading. You, however, talking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled, and will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We want to look today at the mandate that we have for preaching the word. We want to look at the message of the word, and we want to look at the ministry of the word. Someone once said, the word of God is like a lion. You don't need to defend it, you just need to set it loose. Plenty of people who, when we say, thus says the Lord in this day, they'll say, so what? Friends, there's not a whole lot I can do about that. What I can do is pray. What I can do is know that the word of God, according to what it says, is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God doesn't go out void. So, no matter what they say, the word of God stands. I can curse against the sunrise, it's still going to come up. And so part of it is this, is that we see here the mandate that, as Paul is saying to Timothy, okay, here's the last things I got to say to you. And he gives this mandate, and here's how he says it. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. So first we want to look at the mandate. There are five intensifiers to this mandate. All right? First, solemnly, I seriously charge you. It would be like if I asked Jack, pick on Jack, could you please water my lawn? But if I said, I beg you to water my lawn, and by the way, the elders and the president and the UN and everyone else has met together and said, please ask Jack to water my lawn. And by the way, the FBI and the CIA and the Internal Revenue Service, they're going to make sure that you do it. They're going to judge and then they're going to send someone to inspect it. He'd go, wow, that's kind of overkill for watering the lawn. So friends, this is the intensifiers to, it's not a suggestion, it's this command, it's this mandate to ultimately to do what? To preach the gospel, to preach the word. The intensifiers are, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. And so, as we look at that, I don't really need to have it be, shouldn't have to be intensified to say, if God says it, do it. But Paul, this is the last thing he's going to say to young Timothy. So he intensifies it. He says, I don't know what else I can say, but it's God the Father, God the Son, the one who's going to judge the living and the dead, the one who is going to return and he's going to set up his kingdom. That's the one who's asking you to do this. That's the one who's asking all of us to do this. So I want to talk about the success of Vacation Bible School. We'll have another Vacation Bible School next year. Will it take a lot of work? Will it be frustrating at times? Absolutely. But that, because that's the work of ministry, right? It's supposed to be hard. We're battling for the very souls of people. It's hard. It's hard work. That's why he told us earlier to see our lives as soldiers and athletes and farmers. Hard work. And so the issue of he's telling Timothy, listen, this is something that comes from the highest level. This is not a suggestion. I solemnly charge you to do these things. And as a preacher, I have to keep in mind that I am a herald of the coming King. Friends, there's a whole lot of things in the world. We have powerful people, mayors and governors and senators and presidents and so on and so forth. But you know what? They don't have the power to judge the living and the dead. Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And as a preacher, all of us have that potential to be preachers, to be heralds of the King. At that point, we need to see our role as very serious. I have to see my role as a preacher as extremely important and serious. And at that rate, I ought to be praying, and I do, I pray for the pulpits around America, that people would preach the Word, be heralds of the King. So in the mandate, it's intensified, I solemnly, then he says this, preach the word. Preach the word. And he does that, says that in season and out. So I want to stop there. I think this is still part of the mandate. The mandate is, I solemnly charge you to preach the word in season and out. That's the mandate. So the preacher is a herald. He's sent out by the King with a voice to be loud and clear, not ambiguous. Sent out as an ambassador, but not an ambassador who has vague ideas. No, this is a fairly clarion call. And the clarion call is this, is that We're to be preachers of the good news, that there's one way to heaven. I'm to sound forth, we're to sound forth the King's message and not our message. We're not sent out to be negotiators. There is no negotiation. I mean, Jesus is not going to stop being the way, the truth, and the life because we think there are many ways. There's no negotiation. We're supposed to share the truth in love. You don't get people to heaven by arguing them into the kingdom or beating them over the head with the Bible. But we're to be heralds because it's the Word of God unleashed that is powerful. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. In fact, Timothy is now the pastor of Grace Church of Ephesus, remember? And so Paul, on his way to Jerusalem, last time he would see the elders, he would say these words, "I did not shrink back from proclaiming to you the whole purpose of God, or the whole counsel of God. I didn't hold back." The whole counsel of God. He didn't pick and choose the happy unicorn parts, you know. No, there's some stuff in the Scriptures that are, wow, they hit you right in the face like a 2x4, right? He said, "I didn't hold back. I did the whole purpose of God." And so this is what we're supposed to preach, the Word. Now, that's a challenging thing because that means that there's some kind of, if it's that important, then we ought to be very diligent to be good at it. So be diligent to know the Word. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, to be a workman who can accurately handle the Word of truth. It would be very easy. I don't know how many millions of sermons have ever been preached. But it wouldn't be really a good thing for myself to simply regurgitate what somebody else said. It's got to be studied. It's got to be from God. It's got to pass through, okay, here's what I believe it says. But it also has to be something that I allow to penetrate my soul, or I'm a hypocrite. And it takes the power away. Nothing takes the place of preaching the Word of God in the church. We can have all the programs. We can have cool coffee hours. And we can have the greatest youth ministry and children's ministry and small groups and stuff. But I believe that the core of the core of the core of the church is the preaching of the good news. It's the preaching of the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that the sermon's got to be an hour long. There's places in the world that I've gone to preach, and if you preach less than an hour, even more than that, they kind of thought they got gypped, you know. Why should they go all of the trouble to get to church and then have it be some puny little sermon? That's how they... And then some of them, it's like, you know, it's like 3 hours long. It wears you out, you know. That's all right. But I've been to places they've told me, "Hey, you got 15 minutes. Really? And that's their normal size of us. When I came here and became your pastor nearly 11 years ago, I asked the elders how long, and they said about 40 minutes, 40, 45 minutes. That's what they told me. Sometimes it's, you know, for some it's like, wow, that's like trying to fit in. And we're going to need to at some point add extra services on Sunday morning. So we've got to figure out, well, how do you do that? How do you do all this stuff? And how do you do announcements? And how do you do music? We've got to figure that out. But ultimately this, we've got to preach the Word. We've got to preach the Word. And we need to be praying for every pulpit around Lake County, 70 of them, 90-some on in Mendocino County, praying that power goes from the pulpit. It's the power of God's Word, not somebody because somebody really is a great communicator. That's helpful. But the fact is that the power comes from preaching the Word of God. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of this message," or preaching, "and message of preaching to save those who believed." Once again, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God." The world through its wisdom did not come to know God. All the stars, all the complexities of creation, all those things. They just made up stories. Well, you know, we came from aliens, or we got electrocuted 11 billion years ago, and that's how life started. You know, I'm not mocking that. The fact is this, that's just something that people said that's how it had to happen, because we don't want to submit to a God who created us. He says, "So God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." It is the message preached by the prophets, by the apostles, lived out and proclaimed by men and women throughout the centuries. That's how people believe. It seemed like it would be simple if God just unleashed a whole bunch of angels, right, in Lake County, walking down each street, all glowing and, you know, scary looking. They're all, you know, and they told me, "Hey, you over there, stop doing that and believe." I've had people ask me, why doesn't God just do that? Because he did one better. He came himself. Jesus said, "Follow me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." It already did, already happened. We're just supposed to proclaim that. Right. So that's the mandate. Part of that mandate also is to be ready in season and out of season. Years ago, I was a youth pastor for 17 years, all right? And I was down in San Diego, and we were doing a vacation Bible school for a church. This church could seat 1,500 people. It had a three-story high, whole block building in San Diego. Now, that's some ching ching. That's a lot of money, all right? And then they had another building with a three-story high CE building. You know how many people were there for services? About 120. In this cavernous, now today here about maybe 200, in a place that sits 350. I want you to imagine something that was five times larger than this with 120 people in it. And they're kind of sitting, it's like they didn't like each other. They're kind of sitting like, "Well, hello," you know. Balcony, looked like you're in some grand theater. What happened? I don't know. So I preached that morning. They asked me to preach. Then the pastor, after I preached, and we were doing music and stuff, he says, "Hey," I had a Scottish accent, "Hey, Gary, can you bring the word tonight?" I said, "No." I said, "We're doing some more music. We got a big outreach thing we're doing. That really won't work." And we decided, "I'd love to hear you preach." And so, sure enough, we show up that night. We do an outreach thing and went to 500 homes around there. And that night, we did some music. And we got done with our music, and I sat down, big pulpit chairs, right before the offertory. He leans over to me and says, "Getty, you're preaching tonight." Or he says, "Getty, bring the word," and he walks off the stage. I praise God that the people who discipled me and trained me said, "Gary, you got to be ready at any moment to pray, preach, or die." And the same with each one of us. Get ready to preach, pray, or die. Here's your opportunity. What do you do? Here's what I was told. Go to the verse of Scripture that immediately first comes to your mind that you know you have something, that God has told you what this, you know. And so I went right to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Boom. "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in his own time he'll lift you up. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you and watches everything that concerns you. Watch out for Satan, for he prowls like a hungry, roaring lion," so on and so forth. go to that. And that's what I did. And I have it written in my Bible. I call it my Minuteman sermon. We need to be Minuteman and Minutewomen. We have to be ready in season out. There's never a bad time. I don't feel good. I don't, whatever it may be. Now, you need to know something. Well, people go, boy, did you get nervous before you preach? I said, I get nervous when I don't preach. I feel like one of those horses in the, you know, in the starting gate. You know, let me out of here, you know. That's how it is. But I can't just be ready to preach two sermons on a Sunday morning. I've got to be ready in season, and so do you. In season and out. No matter what, how the winds change. Friends, get this. Do you love the message? Do you love it? Do you love the giver of the message? Do you honor him as king? Well, then, if that's the case, then be preach the word in season and out. So that's the mandate. The next, in the limited time I have, here's the message. Here's what it says. Be ready in season and out to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with great patience. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will want to have their ears tickled and will be accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. So the Word of God, it reproves. It shines light on things. All right? Next, it rebukes. It rebukes those things that are wrong. And if you're a pastor and a preacher, or you're proclaiming in any way, and you're not willing to say, you know, that's just wrong, you know. But people don't want to hear that today. Well, who are you to say that? Well, I didn't say it. The Bible said it, you know. God says God hates divorce. I mean, I didn't write the Bible. God says don't be filled with lust. It says forgive one another. Yeah, but if you knew what so-and-so did to me, I didn't write it. I mean, then, you know, bring it up with him. God, I don't like that fact. I don't like the fact that I got to forgive people. Well, then I won't forgive you. That's what it says. You know? And so the issue is this, is that when we bring the word, we do it by reprove it, shines a light. Rebuke says those things, hey, that's wrong. Then it says this. And to exhort, or literally it means to coach, to say, come on, let's go. It means to call to one's side. When we preach, we are to thunder against sin, but we are also to encourage and comfort the people of God. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. The Word of God brings comfort. Even if you're wrong, even if you're going down some blind alley and God smacks you and says, hey, quit going that way, that's sin, you turn around, you have to believe that life, when we turn to him, gets better. God heals. God can fix broken stuff. And this is a church filled with people that can proclaim that truth. God can fix broken stuff. Amen? Is he, and he's right in the process of that for most of us, right? So he says to do that with exhort. Then do that with great patience. That means as a whether you're the preacher up front or you're living your life as a herald, you got to be patient with people. You got to let it be like a little bit of a crock pot every once in a while. It's got to stew inside because the Word of God doesn't go out void. You got to keep at it. You got to keep setting it. This is what the Word of God says. And then it says also to do that with instruction. That's the same word. The word means doctrine. It's the foundational truths. We're supposed to preach, pointing out, shining the light, rebuking, exhorting, with great patience, setting the foundation of truth for people. Setting the foundation of truth. It goes on and says this, be careful in that. He says, look at here, verse 3. For times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but want to have their ears tickled and accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their desires. They will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside from myths. Okay, so that has to do with that last point. The last point is with patience and instruction for a time's going to come, people are not going to want to be instructed. They are not going to be want to told that there's right and wrong. They're not going to be want to told that, you know what, there's only one way to heaven. They're going to want to do their own thing. And he's talking about people within even the context of the church. How do I know that? Because I have been around. We're going to sing at the end a great, I love the song, a song called We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations, okay, written in the 1800s, great hymn of missions. Did you know that there's a denomination that determined that they're going to take, they took it out of their hymnal. And the reason why they took it out of their hymnal is because it's too Christ-centered. It has the gall to tell people they need to come to Christ. It has the gall to say that God's kingdom is going to come and His will be done. Friends, I think that's the great hope, isn't it? That we can tell people there is hope in Jesus. I got to tell you right now, I met some great Buddhists in my life, really sweet people. But Buddha, he didn't know the way. There's all kinds of philosophies and things that people have come up with to figure out how to live their lives. But Jesus came to show us the way. And we're not going to back off from that. Bible already said we'll be hated for it, we'll be persecuted for that truth. And lastly, let me finish here. We're supposed to have, what is the ministry of the word? Verse 4. Verse 5. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. I don't have a whole lot of time left, but here's what it says. First of all, in our ministry and in our life, there ought to be sobriety. It purposely uses that. If you've ever had bouts of where you were not sober, whether because of alcohol or some other goofy thing, then you know God says, that's not what's for my children. I want you to be sober. I want you to be able to know what's going on. I want you to be watchful. And so that's the thing. Be watchful in ministry. That's why I prayed over those children, the number of children who gave their lives to Christ this week at Vacation Bible School. What are we supposed to just leave them alone and, okay, well, they're such cute kids, they'll all make it. You know, there's wolves out there. We have a world that's got, even in the cartoons and stuff, it's just warped, weird stuff, right? You know, and I haven't raised my kids. They're now soon to be 27 and 28. But when they were little kids, I made sure every cartoon they watched, well, that's kind of weird, you know. So they didn't get to watch that one, right? Isn't that what you do? Don't you warn your kids if you live on a busy street? Hey, don't walk in the street. Friends, so part of what we need to do with the children, whether the children here or kids in refuge, praise God they can be discipled. But ultimately this, we need to surround them with love and prayer and support for their families. All right? So that we're sober, we're watchful. Next, it says steadfast or endure. Sober in all things, endure hardship. And here's what I've learned as a pastor. If I somehow think it's going to be an easy road, then I ought to go do something else. There's no easy road. And I know this, is that God often uses hardships so that I'm able to comfort other people. If anyone says, well, you don't know what you're doing, but you've never had any difficulties. Yes, I have. I can make a whole list of them. But here's what I have to tell you. I'm not giving up on Jesus. I'm not giving up on Jesus because He will never give up on me. He's going to come through. How do I know that? Because I know the Word and how He came through for all the men and women of God throughout the centuries. He's just simply trying to write that story in my life and in your life. So we need to endure. Next, it says, to do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. That means getting out there. I mean, an evangelist doesn't sit there going, well, you know, I'm just going to wait for the people who, they just know that I'm so full of light and so good. They're just going to come to me and say, well, gee, how come you're so full of light and good? No, so send I you. The evangelist is the one who goes out there. And though we may have great programs, and I want to make sure we do, and they're all good, but ultimately the ministry is out there. It's the work of the evangelist. Going on, fulfill your ministry. Bring it to full measure. That's what it means. Here's the interesting thing about this Greek word here. It literally means to set the sail so that it can become filled. I like that. That's one of the ways they use this. So I know for our lives, I want to charge you with this. Let's every one of us set our sail. Let's every one of us allow the Lord, the Spirit of God, to fill our lives. That's all we ask. Let His will be done in your life. Friends, we need to learn to love His story. And we need to learn to love our story. The story of how He impacted our lives. To me, that's the hope for Lake County, the little hope for the world. Can Jesus Christ save a soul? Can He rebuild a marriage? Can He take a person who is in bondage to sin and set him free? Sure He can. He can do it today just like He did 2,000 years ago. Well, that's what we preach. That's what we live. Let's not be afraid to set our sail. Let me read these words. These words are written in 1862. Henry Ernest Nickel. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy. A story of peace and light. A story of peace and light. And the darkness has turned to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. For Christ's great kingdom has come to earth. A kingdom of love and light. Is that true? Sure it is. That's exactly what it says here. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, who will in His appearing and the setting up of His kingdom, He says, preach the word in season and out. Jesus is coming again. He will set all things right. And He can set our hearts right and anyone's heart right even now. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you do that. Listen, the Spirit of God is calling you to that point. What do you need to do? You respond to Him. It's called repentance and saying, Lord, I agree, I'm wrong. He doesn't give you the list of the 1,000 things messed up about your life. You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. You just know, I'm messed up. You acknowledge that and you turn to Him, and it's by His power and grace you believe upon Jesus Christ. You believe upon the name of Jesus. And then next you confess Him as Lord and Savior. That's how it works. And then we determine that we're going to be used by Him. He's the King, and I am not. We are His heralds. We're not the herald of any political party. We're not the herald of any philosophy of our own. We're the herald of the risen Savior, King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's stand together and let's sing. We have a story to tell the nation. There's about 50 verses of this, but we'll only do one, all right? And if you don't know it, that's fine, because then you get to learn it. We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to earth, the kingdom of love and life. Now, that is either the greatest truth ever Or we just made it up. We didn't make it up. This has been proclaimed for thousands and thousands of years. Men and women who have trusted God, and He has always come through for them. Whatever you're dealing with right now in your life, God will come through. Preach the gospel in season and out. Heavenly Father, take our lives from here now. Fill with your Holy Spirit that we may preach and proclaim the good news to every man, woman, and child. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.